What a beauty it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. Beautiful name. It's in His name that we trust. It's in His name that we have hope. It's in His name that we can say we are more than conquerors because of Jesus. It's of Jesus. The message of the gospel is a message of hope and of freedom. Freedom from sin and death. Freedom from guilt and shame. The message of the gospel is so freeing that it frees us from the world that binds us so tightly to itself. Yes, we are more than conquerors. But why? Why are we more than conquerors? How can we claim that we have victory over sin and over death, over guilt and shame? Is it arrogant for us to claim that? Are we proud to claim that? Is it foolish for us to claim that? I mean, that's an argument against our faith, that it's an arrogance to say, free of sin, you don't do those things anymore. I mean, when I look at my own life, I see areas that I so easily fall into the trap of guilt. I so easily fall victim to shame. It's a need more victory, and that Jesus is not enough. There was once a very poor orphan who wanted nothing more in the world than to belong to a family. Finally, his opportunity came. He was 8 years old. Family wanted to adopt him. The introductions were made, and the papers were signed, and just 6 days after his 8th birthday, he left for his new home. He took with him his hope and his possession, the old, worn, and torn clothes he was wearing, and a single soft toy. His parents were excited to have him with them. They wanted him to feel like part of the family. So a special dinner was held. He was given room, and he was introduced to the other kids in the street. His new parents took these old clothes he had brought with him and threw them away and bought him new, beautiful clothes. They bought him new toys and bought him a... And pretty soon he began to feel just like one of the other kids in the neighborhood, loved and part of the family. But one thing was curious. The boy's old shoes, the ones with the big holes in, they weren't tossed out like the rest of his clothes. His new father placed them on the mantelpiece, and it wasn't long before the newly adopted son found out why. Every time the boy did something wrong, he would go and get those shoes and say, "Look at all we've done for you. We took you in when you had nothing, and look how you behaved." Unfortunately, all of us fall into the same trap and of shame. The enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, accuses us and reminds us of the sin that we did in our past. The things that used to the world, and he dredges up those past and throws it back in our faces, never letting us forget how much we are in debt. In those times, it's in those times that we must be reminded of the victory that was claimed for us. So do you know? Do you know the victory that was claimed for you? Do you know what was done for you? Do you know who makes you a conqueror? No? What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of
Jesus.
Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. When we were in our sin and given up to the depravity of our own minds and our own bodies, Jesus made us right by His sacrificial death. It's His death that paid the penalty for our sins. His death that satisfied God's anger towards sin and wiped our sins away by Jesus' blood. so that we might receive the gift of grace through faith in Him. It's Jesus. It's always been Jesus. It always Jesus and always will be Jesus. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What can we say then? As Pastor read for us before us earlier, what can we say then in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
No one.
No one. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give things? Who will bring any charge against us? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. God justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, the one who died, more than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and who was also interceding for us. If you believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, if you have received Him into your life, if you have confessed Jesus with your mouth that Jesus has risen from the dead, then you have been forgiven. Guilt is no more. Shame is no more. No longer are you condemned. You have been given life. It's in Jesus' name that you've been given life. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, God incarnate. God, the Creator of the world. For He has the authority to forgive sins. He has the authority to bring us into the right standing with God. All we need to do is have faith in Him. That's it. Faith in Jesus Christ. And He removes guilt. He removes shame. Forgiveness. God did not send His own Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in Him is already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. John 3:17-18. So do you believe in Him today? If you do, you are no longer condemned. He has the authority to condemn you. No, can you think about that? The only one who has the authority to condemn you is Jesus, and he doesn't condemn you. He doesn't condemn you. It is God who justifies. Right. However, that phantom pain of guilt and shame can still haunt us. It's a battle of faith that is fought within our own minds after our sin has been taken away. The enemy, the devil, still tries to accuse us and tear us down. And as a result, we feel the pain and guilt. We feel the pain and guilt of shame. Similar to the phantom pain of someone who may have lost a limb. Philip Yancey wrote in an article in 1984 about this phantom pain. He says, "One of the tragic occurrences in life is that people lose limbs. Their loss can be made even more severe when they develop the phantom limb pain. Phantom limb pain occurs when the patient's brain acts as though the limb still exists. The amputee may have the perception of an itch on the lost limb, even though there is no limb to scratch. May feel toes curling even feel tremendous pain in their non-existent limb." Dr. Paul Brand tells us of one of his patients, Mr. Barwick, who had a serious and painful circulation problem in his leg. The doctors recommended amputation, but Mr. Barwick refused. The pain became too intense, and Mr. Barwick agreed to the operation. In the lead up to the operation, Mr. Barwick grew to hate that leg of his so much that he asked his doctor to preserve it in a jar. He planned to place it on his mantle and then sit in his armchair and taunt it, saying, "You can't hurt me anymore." The doctor followed Mr. Barwick's instructions, but sadly, it was the leg that got the fine. You see, Mr. Barwick developed a severe case of phantom limb pain. He had hated the leg with such intensity that the pain of the wound lodged permanently in his brain. Mr. Barwick suggests limb pain provides a powerful insight into the phenomenon of false guilt. Christians can be obsessed with the memory of some sin committed years ago, and it leaves them crippled, and it never leaves them, crippling their ministry, their devotional life, and their relationships with others. They live in fear that someone might discover their past, and they work overtime trying to prove to God that they are repentant. They become as pitiful as poor Mr. Barwick, shaking his fist in fury at the pickled leg on his mantle. The enemy, the devil, accuses us. Our own flesh can accuse us. The world may even accuse us and condemn us, but God does not accuse us. He does not accuse those who place their faith in Him. It is God who justifies. He clears the charges, throwing down the gavel in His divine courtroom, saying, "Not guilty." Why? Because of Jesus. Jesus took the punishment for you. Jesus shed His blood for you. You no longer face the same judgment. Jesus took that for you. God has forgiven those who have faith in Him, and as it says in Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed from us. In Hebrews 8:12, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. He's removed our sins from us, and He remembers them no more, as long as we have faith in Him. It is removed because of Jesus. False guilt must be met with the truth of the gospel whenever the accusation comes. When the accusation comes, the message of the gospel must be used to rebuke that accusation. The accuser says, remember what you used to do? Well, you're still that person. Jesus isn't enough. Our response must be, Jesus has forgiven me. My sin is no more. Jesus is enough. For if the Son has set you free, you will be what? Free indeed. John 8:36. No more guilt, only forgiveness. One warning, though, I do have for the church this morning. You see, the church is filled with imperfect people. We all know that. None of us can claim to be perfect. We're all in the process of being made more holy and living in the freedom that Jesus has claimed for us. Someone think they're perfect back there? No? Pastor? No. Okay. none of us are perfect. We all know that. We're all being made more holy and in the process of being made more holy and living in the freedom that Jesus claimed for us. It's a learning process of trusting that Jesus is enough. But a very common testimony of people who are outside of the church community and attempt to come in is that they experience church people shaming them because of their old life, because of decisions that they've made in the past. Shame comes from other people, not from God. Shame separates us from other people, and it can have an adverse effect on our relationship with God. When we shame people, we are not living in the freedom that Jesus offers. Instead, we become ourselves the accuser. As Christ's followers, our to proclaim forgiveness of sin and freedom from guilt that Jesus offers us through faith. Isn't that good news? That's our job. That's who we are. We don't condemn us. We don't say stray words. We don't look at people with careless looks or facial expressions, but we accept people as they are, knowing that they are in the same process as we are, as the Holy Spirit works in us and in them to make us more like Christ, all learning to live in the freedom that He has bought for us. There's no prerequisite to receive God's forgiveness, only to have faith. Faith. The message of the gospel points us back to Jesus. Jesus only. Jesus ever. Jesus all and always sing. Savior, sanctifier, and healer. Glorious Lord and coming King. Because of Jesus that we can say we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. It's because of Jesus that we can say we are free of guilt. And when we know that freedom, the freedom that Christ It moves us to worship. I want to share with you the lyrics of a song that has been ministered to me this past week as I've been letting the truth of the gospel sink deep into my soul. The song is called I, by Hillsong United. It's a newer song, but listen to these words and let them sink deep into your soul as you consider the truth of the gospel yourself. God of creation, there of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies were born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything that you've made, every bar a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, then so will I. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, involved in pursuit of what you've said. And if it all reveals your nature, then so will I. I can see your heart in everything that you say, every painted sky, a canvas of you. If creation still obeys you, then so will I. So will I. If the stars are made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, then so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, if the wind goes where you send it, then so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all your praises, of all our praises, still falls shy, then we will sing it again 100 billion times. God of salvation, you chase down my heart through my failure and pride. On a hill you created, the light of the world abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion years disappear. That guilt just disappears. While you lost your life so I could find it here, you left the grave behind, so will I. I can see your heart in everything that you've done, every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, then so will I. I can see your heart a billion different ways, and every precious one, a child that you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, then so will I. Like you 100 billion times, but what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind. When we live in the freedom Christ gives us, it moves us to worship. It moves us to say, if the rocks cry out in silence, then so will I. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If you gave me salvation, if you died for those around you, those who I see before me, then so will I. I will love them. I will pursue them. I will seek after them because you hold the words of life. You hold salvation. You are the salvation. And if you have gave that gift to me, then I'll give it to those around me. When we live in that freedom, we know no more guilt. We know no more shame. We just know His forgiveness. If you're choosing to follow Jesus today, don't wait. Make Him the Lord of your life today. Make Him your Savior today. Today is the day. Be free of guilt by living in His freedom. Make Him the King of your heart today. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your love and Your faithfulness. We thank you for salvation, Father. We thank You for Your Son. We thank you that you gave your life so that we would not have guilt anymore, but that we would be able to live in the freedom of the salvation that you offer us, Father, and bought for us in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for letting us live as conquerors over sin, over death, over the grave, over guilt, because of your forgiveness. Father, and we thank you for your grace. Would you allow us to live in your grace today, live in your faithfulness today, and live because of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.